Are there any prayer requests this morning? Garrett, Melissa's baby, Aaron?
Our work schedule got changed, so we're going to be working a lot more and just pray for strength.
Jenna?
For D.
Yeah, for D. Aaron and his job, who else? God answered your prayers. Welcome to old age. Yeah, it just keeps on coming on. I'll tell you, to live old, you need doctrine. Because when you go through, these are trials. And you can get so beat up physically, your immune system goes down, then you're not ready for the next one. So it's good to have the doctrinal information. Remember to pray for the church, for me and my family. I appreciate that. For the wisdom we need for the things that we're going through. Katie?
For Matt and his.
What's Matt with him now? It's years of living fast and hard. Just remember, it may be fun to go down the hill at a blinding speed, but sometimes you fall down. We've all done it, all of us young, dumb guys. It's always fun. Anybody else? Remember your ministry of giving. Praying for your families and the church.
And the country.
And the, oh gosh. This morning, there was a pile of garbage in the front door. It's like...
Well, Ken said the garbage can's just right there.
I know, the garbage can's right there. I guess you have to move it closer.
Set it in front of the door.
Set it in front of the door or something. I thought about putting a fence across the front, but... We get our mail delivered here, so I don't know how they'd work that out. Ask God to give you the wisdom on what to pray for, the doctrines you need, because we're going through a change here. And we need to have the doctrinal information so we can get our faith up for the change. All right, let's bow for a silent prayer, please. Father, we just ask that you give us the wisdom on what to pray for and to deal with demons. For we thank you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to go through this from the standpoint of the grammar. This is a passage that even unsaved people use all the time. But the grammar has so much information in it. Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. This is a call to faith. And the verb in the Greek, the verb always denotes action. And the action is determined by what the verb is. So what's the verb in the first clause? Ask. What's the verb in the second clause? Seek. And the final verb, knock. So it's a call to action. Because we have an imperative mood in each one of these verbs. And the imperative mood is a mood of what? Command. So it's when you ever have a verb in the imperative, it's a call to action. You got to do this. God orders you to do this. It's a command. So our first one, and it's active faith. Now, active faith is different than passive faith. Active faith looks at you doing something in your faith. Passive faith is you're not able to do anything. Sorry for all this, I got so much phlegm. For example, we have good people in America fighting back against the evil, but the evil is so strong. They're gaining the upper hand. They already have the upper hand. So, is that something that you or I can do anything about? As evildoers down in Frisco or LA or Sacramento or DC, New York, the evil people are doing evil things. I can't stop them. So, what do we do in prayer? We pray against that. But it's up to God. God's the one that's got the whole thing going on here. So, do I take an active faith or a passive faith? Kind of a loaded question. But passive faith, because I cannot change these people. I cannot stop them from doing what they're doing. Only God can do that. So passive faith comes in. We know that God has a plan. We know that He's a just God. We know that He runs the whole world show according to His own plan. So all I can do is just wait on the Lord, waiting for the Lord to handle this in due time and His own way. Active faith comes in, prayer. I can ask God, I can seek how I can be a problem solver instead of a problem maker, etc. So there's active and passive faith going on all the time in our lives. And the relief comes in when you know that if you can't do the one, don't worry about it. It takes a lot of pressure off of you. So our active faith comes here in asking, seeking, and knocking. And it's so important that God wants us to do this. He commands us to do this. So the command is to ask, and to seek, and to knock, all three, not just one, but all three of them. And this has a tremendous payback. Now these are all in the present active imperative. Well, we've seen, first of all, that it's a command, so it's a big deal, right? The active voice is the voice of choice. It's the voice of volition. Because if it's in the active voice, it tells us that I must produce the action of the verb. That means I have to make a choice to do so. So that means that I have to actively be asking God for this or that. Right? So big of a deal, He commands me to do it. So, we see, first of all, that it is a command. Secondly, it's done by the exercising of the will, which tells us that faith is a choice. See, we're talking about faith. We're talking about the usages of faith, the actions, and so forth, and this is one of them. Thirdly, it's something that we're to be doing continually. How do we get that out of that? It's a present active imperative. And the present tense tells us that we're to constantly be doing this. So, how often you pray, you need to be doing it every day. You should be doing it throughout the day. So, now we change the translation. As I have here, keep on asking. See, the present tense is continual action. Imperative mood is call to action. You're commanded. The active voice tells us you must choose to do this. And it's to be continual. So we would translate that, Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. I told you there's a lot here in the grammar. Next thing we see is the results of the actions of asking, seeking, and knocking. If we do what God says, what He commands us to do, there are good results. What are they? What are the results of asking? Keeping on asking. You'll receive it. You'll get it. What's the results of seeking? You'll find it. What's the results of continually knocking? A door will be open. Somewhere a door will be open. If it wasn't this door, go on to the next door. The future indicative always emphasizes the idea of the certainty. If you keep on asking, you certainly will be what? Receiving. Keep on seeking, and the certainty of that is you will find. Keep on knocking, the certainty of that, a door will be opened. Future active indicative. Active voice stresses the idea that you personally will receive what you've been asking for. You personally will seek, you will find what you've been seeking. And you personally will have a door open to you. Somebody watching, you say, well, that's not fair. I didn't. Boy, he was knocking. You weren't. Is it fair that he received and you didn't? Why is it fair that he received and you didn't? Because he was knocking on the door. He was knocking on doors. He was seeking. I watched, as you know, the gold shows. They have them every Friday. And it's kind of mildly exciting, but I understand it. So I look at that, and one guy sold a gold nugget specimen for $2.5 million. Well, that'll flick your bick. I mean, they're out digging around, and just a few minutes, they found a $100 nugget. They make more money doing that than they do with the other, you know, the jobs they had. But there's something that's superior to that. And I watched Dave Turin, I think his name is, and he's a Christian man. He's out there doing this and that. And he's looking for gold. But Proverbs 8 tells me there's something more valuable than that, and that's wisdom. Bible doctrine is more valuable than all the gold in the world. So as I look at my life, I've already dug up more wonderful gold than they ever will in their lives. Now, if you do that and listen to tapes at the same time, probably going to have a winner there. But you look at prospectors and miners. They're out there scratching around, looking for gold out of all the dirt. And so you're seeing the seeking, the knocking on the doors, and you're seeing the fruit of their labors right in their hand, a little gold nugget. And we see going on around us all the time. We find young kids that go to college, get a degree, and after they get their degree, they're out seeking employment. They're knocking on doors. They have resumes out. And maybe they get a reply. Maybe it's from the one they wanted. Maybe it isn't. But they're getting replies. And so we have that lived out every day of our lives. So the future active indicative always stresses the certainty of the action occurring, but here's the rub, and it's a comfort. When will this action occur? Sometime in the future. See, that's the nature of the game. So whatever you're asking for, it will be given to you most definitely, but when? Sometime in the future. What you're seeking for, you will find at some point in time in the future. And the doors that you're knocking on, a door will be opened up to you, but when? Sometime in the future. You say, well, when? I don't know. It's future. There's past, present, and future, right? So sometime. And that should be enough to comfort you when you're asking for stuff in your prayers and seeking stuff in your lives and knocking on doors. The comfort is that God heard of that, He listened to you, He's granted the request, and you're given it to you. But right now, this moment in time, okay? That split second. Everything past that is in the future. Maybe a microsecond, a millisecond, maybe a week, a month, a year. How long did Abraham have to wait for his prayer request? 35 years or so? Long time. A lot of times we're talking to God out in the pasture about things. But God had the date and the time and the place already determined when this was going to happen. But it was given to him. And that's all you have to know, is it will be given to you when? Sometime in the future. Now, why did I belabor that point? So, well, I don't know, Mike. Because in life, when we're living the faith rest life, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get down on your faith. It's easy to think you will never get what you've asked for. It's just the nature of the beast. And to keep us from being discouraged and to keep us holding on to our faith and our prayers with God, we have to believe that God heard our prayers. He granted, and you shouldn't have a problem that He didn't give you your lust. He said He gave you His heart's desires, but not your lust. But it will come for sure at some point in time in the future. So now we have, keep on asking, and you will receive. And the word receive is in a passive voice. That doesn't mean I'm doing it. He's doing it for me, and I will receive from Him. That helps us in our faith, because we got to understand how this whole thing works between us and God. You can't be praying for stuff and then trying to do it in your own strength. The matter, as Job said, the matter's in the hands of the Lord. We must wait on Him. I understand your problem, Job. I see you're hurting. You look like crap. But the matter is in God's hands, so we must wait upon Him. So somebody understood it right. You keep on seeking, and you will discover. We have a couple of towns named after that here in California. What are they? Eureka and Wyreka. I have discovered it. Gold Strike. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. Passive voice. You knock on a door because you can't open it. The door is locked, been locked from the inside. All you can do is knock, 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 knock on the door. And whoever's on the inside has to open the door. You're asking the opener of all doors and the closer of all doors, Jesus Christ, to open doors for you or to close doors. If the door is closed, what does that mean? He doesn't want you to go through that door because he's protecting you. Revelation chapter 3 is about, by the way, it's not about unsaved people getting saved. Revelation chapter 3 is about churches locking Christ out. He's closed. The door is closed to him. Well, who does Christ represent, or what does he represent? Well, he represents truth. You see how sad that is? Churches, which are to be the pillars of truth and wisdom, have the God of truth and wisdom shut out. They don't want him in. Oh boy, how many churches do you think that we have like that in America today? Most of them. That's how bad it's gotten. That's the apostasy. So they need to repent and open the doors to truth come in for the Word of God, but we're on another subject. Okay, that's the first calls to action. Asking, seeking, and knocking. And we're to continually be asking. We have a problem, Mike? I think I have to build a fence around the church. If we keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking like we're told to do, then these three things will happen. We will receive, we'll find, and doors will be open. So when God says something will be, it will be. That's a promise. His deity is online here. He has to do this. You see, he has written down a legal contract with all of his people that if you do this, I will do that. If we confess our sins, he wrote this. If we do that, now maybe we will and maybe we won't, but if we do, what did he promise to do? He promised to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He didn't have to do that, but he did it. And once he commits it to pen and ink, it's a contract. That's why I hope you can, we always allow a time for silent prayer, giving us all the opportunity to confess our sins. Maybe the ones that we got caught up doing as we were driving down the church, yelling at each other. So it's belaboring the point again. I'm trying to emphasize to you the importance of asking, seeking, and knocking. What is my responsibility? I mean, as a Christian. Our responsibility is to ask, seek, and knock. I've discharged my responsibility, like tennis. I've lobbed the ball over the net. I'm through with it. Now, whether he gets it on the other side and lobs it back, I don't know. It's in the court, we would say. It's in God's hands. Once I do what God tells me to do, it's up to him to come through, not me. I've asked him. I've sought after. I've knocked on doors. So it's your responsibility to grant my request, find what I'm seeking, which takes different approaches with that, and to open up the doors. You go after door after door after door, nothing happens. Then one door, you hear a latch turning and the door swinging open. So what would you do? I'd walk through. That's right. Go there, run through it. Some of them are active voice. For example, keep on asking. Passive voice, you will receive. Active voice is you're the one that's discovering the thrill of discovery. Watch the gold shows. Even little nuggets, these guys get excited. And the white water guys, I don't know how big the thing is, but you can put it in your hand. Well, you think there's a lot of hooping and hollering over that to find a nugget that size? Yeah, that'd be a premium for that baby. You have the thrill of discovering. You, with your own eyes, will see this. Now, the last one is a passive voice, meaning somebody had to open the door. You couldn't open it. Somebody on the inside opened the door, and Jesus Christ opens the door. What's your responsibility? Walk through. You can't. There's no active voice here. Your active voice was knocking. The passive part of it is it has to be opened. Somebody from the inside is opening the door. And the emphasis on all of this is not to get down in your faith, to understand more clearly how this all works. Because I had a problem years ago for a long time, and finally, I don't know, about 20 years ago, time runs together for me anymore. And that is, if you know that I need it, why do I have to ask for it? Anybody ever have that problem? Well, I did. What, ask for these things whatsoever you need, and he will grant them. All right, why do I have to ask? You know all things. And what helped me was Psalm 2. And the Father told the Son, ask of me, and I will give you the earth as your inheritance. Oh, that's how it works. If his son had to ask, who am I? Then I thought, well, why does the son have to ask him, you know, wise? We all have wise like kids. And he went back to, he created everything. Didn't God create all things in heaven and earth? And if he was the creator of all things, then he's the owner of all things. Right of manufacture. Right of manufacture, he who manufactures an item owns it. Owns it in possession, owns it in title. It's his. That's why we have our law set up like that. For example, you buy a car. You go down to the dealership and you buy a car. Well, did the dealership make the car? No. Somebody else made the car back in, let's say, Detroit. So when they made that car, they owned that car, right? They made it. They created it, right? A manufacturer. Now, when they sell them to the dealers, they pass on, they are given right of title and right of possession. So the Detroit had the right of title because they made the thing and right of possession because they have it here on their lot. So somebody else, a dealer, takes it off their hands. When they send the car out, they are sending out the right of possession and the right of ownership by title. When the dealer sells the car to you, they pass on the same titles. Except in the packet of nine, there's a thing that has the state in there. And the state comes in and takes right of title. And the bank. So that's why the Son had to ask the Father, who made the heavens and who made the earth? Well, God did, creator of all things. So by virtue of him owning everything, if anybody, including his own son, wants something, we have to ask him, because it's his. He'll give it, he's glad to do it, but we still have to have the formality, if you will, of asking him for it. Even when you're talking about getting married, right man, right woman. He'll do that because he wants to bless you. But you should be praying for it if that's what you want. But now, the results. If I'm doing what God says, asking, seeking, and knocking, and I'm doing constantly in my life for not just one thing, not just about a job, and it's important, but about everything in life. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Now, what are the results of doing what God said? Present active participle. The next cluster of verbs. If you're constantly asking God for things in your life, then you're going to be continually finding the things that you've asked for, you've sought, and having doors knocked. Because all three of these verbs in the second paragraph are present active participles. Okay, broadly speaking, what kind of activity does a present participle speak of? Ongoing, way of life, daily practice. For what? Present active participle. Now, you will be receiving. You will be finding, and a door will be open to you. And it says that it will be given to you. I don't know if some translations have it as you will receive. I like the way this one does it because it will be given to you. What does it refer to? What you're asking for. So it refers back to what you're asking for. That will be given. Given is the voice of grace. You will receive this from God as a gift of His grace to you. And to you, date of advantage, even in the slightest, smallest grammatical principle, we have something amazing going on here. To you, dative of advantage, it means that what God does give you, what God does for you, will be to your advantage. It will benefit you. It will be a blessing to you. It will not be for a lust, because those aren't good for you. But whatever God does for you, whatever you ask Him for, He will give it to you if it benefits you in your life. What does benefit refer to? Something good. It's like, we've all had kids just about. And do kids like candy? Do they like soda pops? If you ask a kid what they want to eat, they want like French fries or candy or a milkshake, but it's not good for them. And they think we're mean people for not, but we know it's going to rot their teeth, it's going to give them pimples, it's going to set them up for diabetes, all sorts of things. So if God withholds those things, He's not being mean. He understands that you need something that's good for you. Father, we thank You for the study. We pray that we all might be charged and motivated to continue the life of faith and push it up to the next level. For we thank You and pray in Christ's name. Amen.